In these summer months, I'm looking at various psalms, as you know. This is one of my favorite psalms, and there are two key verses in it, verse 1 and verse 8. Verse 1 says, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid?" And verse 8, "My heart says of you, seek his face. Your face, Lord, I will seek." We are to seek the face of the Lord because, as verse 1 tells us, he is our light and our salvation and our stronghold. Our light, our salvation, and our stronghold. Those three things. He is my strong, secure home. I either live in the presence of God, that is, before the face of God, for that's what the phrase face of God means, or I live in the presence of fear, says verse 1. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Fear, of course, is a very, very powerful emotion. It drives individual human beings and nations. It is the driving force behind the appalling slaughter in Yugoslavia. It affects all types of people, rich and poor, educated and uneducated. Fear is a form of darkness, a darkness of the soul. Its cause is absence from God. In the Adam and Eve story, the first thing we read of them after they had done what they shouldn't have done was that they were afraid. I hope that we are not bound by fear. Verse 1 does not say, "The Lord gives me light, and the Lord gives me salvation, and the Lord gives me a stronghold." It says, "The Lord is my light, my salvation, and my stronghold." Sometimes we imagine that God is far away in heaven and we're on earth, and it's his task to dispense blessings like light and salvation and a stronghold to us. No, God made us in his image to be his children so that we might be with him, not distant from him. And his personal presence with us is his blessing. He doesn't stand at a distance and give us blessings. His blessing is his very presence with us. Parents wouldn't like it if their children simply wanted presents from them, but didn't want to know the presence of their parents. The parents need to be with their children, and being with them, they can give them good things. And we cannot receive good things from God if we don't want him personally with us in all his love, holiness, and justice. We cannot seek his blessings and help if we don't seek him with us. So it's not "the Lord gives me light," but "the Lord is my light." God is light. The Bible tells us light means brightness and beauty. Pure light is white, of course. And white light, as I'm sure you know, is a mixture of all the colors of the rainbow. So if white light is broken up, it becomes all the colors of the rainbow. And if the colors of the rainbow are all put together, you get white light. So light is the source of beauty. How did God create the universe? We talked about Psalm 8 last week, and you'll forgive me for getting on my hobby horse again. But he created the universe in beautiful harmony with his own beauty. He first said, "Let there be light." You know, the scientists say the universe began with a big bang of light. I mentioned that last week. I'm not sure whether they're right or wrong that the universe began with a big bang. But even if they're right, somebody had to make the big bang. Big bangs don't happen out of nothing. Albert Einstein, and I was mentioning this to the Bible Fellowship last Tuesday, he told us that light is the source of all things. There was light before there was space and time. You all know about space and time. We've got space to move. This morning we've moved from our houses to this church. Other times we've moved from our house to the shops or our house to the work. We move in cars, bicycles, buses, trains and aeroplanes. We move, we're able to move because there is space in which to move. This planet Earth moves through space. It goes around the sun once a year. We all know about time. We know what yesterday, today, and tomorrow mean. We know what the past means. It has memories. What the future means. It's got hopes and fears, perhaps. Space in which we move and time in which we move come from light, so Albert Einstein taught us. Before there were any yesterdays, todays, and tomorrow, before there was an earth going round the sun, before there was any space, God said, "Let there be light." And there was light. In the Old Testament, Moses came face to face with God and his face became radiant. Verse 8, let me read that again. "My heart says of you, seek his face. Your face, Lord, I will seek." The face of someone means sometimes his personality. Sometimes we guess a person's personality from his face. It may not be right to do that, but often we do. We see someone with a generous and open face, or we see someone with a mean look. We can misjudge people in that way, of course, but you know what I mean. Because the face can mean the whole personality of a person. The New Testament tells us that the light of the glory of God is seen in the face, the whole personality of Jesus. Jesus mediates the glorious personality of God to us. He brings the whole person of God into the world so that we might know God. Some people say they have a love for Jesus, but they don't know what God is like. Well, that's wrong to think like that, because the human being of Jesus brings God to us. "He who has seen me has seen the Father." He didn't always reveal his glory, of course. Most of the time when he was on this earth, he disguised his glory, he hid his glory from the disciples, but occasionally he let people glimpse at it. After his first miracle, we read he thus revealed his glory, because his first miracle was doing something that God does all the time. And then on that mountain, when heaven was opened, he was transfigured, and Peter, James, and John saw his radiance. He let it shine through. And John says, we have seen his glory, the glory of the only Son of the Father. And from that glory, all the beauty and majesty and grandeur of the whole universe and of this planet Earth and its life, it comes from that beauty and glory of God. Do you and I want to be part of that everlasting beauty, majesty, and grandeur? How can we be? Only one way: in the presence of the Lord, in His presence. The Lord is my light. And secondly, the Lord is my salvation. For the beauty of the Lord and the face of the Lord is not only seen in light, but somewhere else too. We've just sung, "When I survey, when I look at the cross, the wondrous cross on which the Prince of Glory died." Isaiah 52, verse 14 says, "Just as there were many who were appalled at him, his face," is what it literally is, "his face was so disfigured beyond that of any man, and his form marred beyond human likeness." And those words refer to the cross. For as well as light, there is also darkness. There's guilt and there's evil and there's danger in the world. The Lord, though, doesn't give us salvation. He is our salvation. Because He bore the cruel sin of the world in Himself, in the body of Jesus. His face was so marred that He hardly looked human. And Isaiah goes on to say, "He was one from whom we hid our faces." The people were too ashamed to look at Him. They hid their faces from Him. But we've just sung, "When I look or survey the wondrous cross." And to seek the Lord's face means to draw near to His cross. We spend much of our lives justifying ourselves, trying to prove that I'm right and he or she is wrong. But before the face of God, we see that it was our sin, and not just our neighbor's, that covered him with grief. And so we say in verse 7 of this psalm, "Be merciful to me, O Lord." Thirdly, the Lord is my stronghold. Firstly, He's my light, my salvation. Thirdly, He's my stronghold. We spend much of our life trying to give ourselves security from danger. We have insurance policies, police and armies. Nothing wrong with that. We need burglar alarms, I'm sure. But none of these things can save us from death and judgment. And so we need a real stronghold. The Lord is my stronghold. Not the Lord gives me security, but He is my security. We sang the words from 1 Peter chapter 1 at the beginning of this service, where we sang and we read in the Bible that the resurrection body of Jesus gives us an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. It's strong. The body of Jesus is the home in which the Son of God dwells. And through faith in Him, our bodies are being fashioned into His home. Now, our bodies are, as I've said on other occasions, and as the Scripture teaches us, rather like a tent. A tent, of course, is not a stronghold. We do much to care for our bodies, and there's nothing wrong with that. We insure them against illness, perhaps, or death. But they will always be tents. They can never be a stronghold. They're always temporary. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 1, we read, "Now we know that if the earthly tent we live in is destroyed, we have a building from God, an eternal house in heaven, not built by human hands." Nothing in this world will give us eternal security. And this psalm tells us that sometimes even our families may let us down. Verse 10 says, "Though my father and mother forsake me, the Lord will receive me." Why do we get afraid? The subject of verse 1. We get afraid if we're afraid perhaps of being lost in the darkness of life. We're afraid our own sins will find us out. We're afraid of losing our bodies. The book of Hebrews says the fear of death brings many into a lifelong bondage. But verse 1 here says, I read it again, Psalm 27, "The Lord is my light and my salvation, whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life, of whom shall I be afraid?" So what must we do? Well, verse 4 says, "One thing I ask of the Lord, this is what I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and seek him in his temple." One thing. In other words, we must be single-minded in our desire, not double-minded. And our desire is to dwell in the house of the Lord. That doesn't mean, of course, that we must go and live in church buildings like monks and nuns. No. For the house of God fills all things in heaven and earth. "Heaven is my throne and earth my footstool. Do I not fill heaven and earth?" Mr. Ritchie read these words from Revelation 21. "Now the dwelling of God is with men, and he will live with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. I did not see a temple in the city, because the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are its temple. The city does not need the sun or the moon to shine on it, for the glory of God gives its light, and the Lamb is its lamp." But there is a place, dear friends, in the universe where God does not dwell in all his glory. And yet it's a place he loves above all others in the universe. It's called the planet Earth. But it's our sin that's made a separation between God and this earth. But God has not left himself without witness. There are on this planet Earth signs of his desire to live with us. We call them church buildings. So although the house of the Lord means all things and also means our own hearts, nevertheless we come week by week to this building as a sign to all that we're awaiting that day when our redeemed bodies and this earth will be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the seas are full of water. "One thing I ask of the Lord, this is what I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and to seek him in his temple." Here we are in a church, and in a little way, very imperfectly, we find the Lord's beauty in our worship, in our singing, in our praying, in our flowers. We seek him in his temple. That means we seek his will for our lives. We seek his guidance. The word of God leads us, challenges us. It shows us the way of salvation in Jesus so that we can live as his disciples. This building is also a sign of security. The houses in the estate round about us may be rented or bought or sold to good people or bad people. But this building is dedicated to God. It must never become a furniture store, a warehouse. To guarantee that, we must keep filling it. If we don't, it will become one day, just like any other building, a warehouse or something. We have to keep filling it, rain or shine. And so verse 4 says, again I read, one thing I ask of the Lord. This is what I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and to seek him in his temple. Let us pray. Lord, we long for that day when your glory will fill not only the heavens, but also this wonderful earth. We thank you for the many tokens you've given us to show that that will be the final accomplishment of your purposes. May we live our lives in the quietness of our own rooms, as well as in Sunday worship and our day-to-day work, to show that we are willing to let you dwell in our midst. For such is your will for us. Lord, you are our light, our salvation, and the stronghold of our life. Of whom shall we be afraid? Help us all, Lord. We pray for Christ's sake. Amen.